The time has come to relieve that pain, which will be better for me, but not so enjoyable for all of you.
The Pain Clinic Pro Wrestling Talk Show. Can you feel the pain?
I'm going to start the show here when I post the recording. So holidays today, real quick, International Astronomy Day, great poetry reading day, kiss your mate day, which you should do every, you know, all the time. I mean, of course you kiss your mate, National Teach Children to Save Day, and Take Your Daughter to Work Day, which was today. Hope you did it. It's past tense. Cause like I said, when I started the show, we're doing this Thursday night. So we haven't seen Rampage. I mean, I can look at the spoilers, but I'm not going to, but Impact's on right now as we're doing this. So I'll watch that while we talk about wrestling. I apologize. Hopefully we get somebody in the chat room after, cause they weren't scared of that freaking feed that was going on. But,
send out a mass alert. We're back to normal.
I know that you missed the information on Alex Riley's birthday today. He turned 42, and current WWE wrestler Drew Gulak is 35 today.
I'm so upset that things didn't pan out for Alex Riley, especially with like the fallout from The Miz. Like, I felt like they could have strapped a rocket to him.
Oh yeah, yeah. That's right. And I was kind of in super slow mo. I was kind of explaining that apparently. So I was saying I remember that he had this run with The Miz. He was like his protege or whatever. And he, you know, but I guess I just was reading through some information on him, and he just came out recently and said that he's not manic depressive. He's something like that. You know, it's like, and so, cause remember he's famous for saying some stuff about John Cena, and getting, you know, saying John Cena got me fired and stuff. And so, bipolar, that's the word I'm thinking. He is a little bipolar. You know, I don't know if you can be a little bipolar, you know, but so that's what
I'll leave that to the experts,
but now it makes sense. Cause you're saying stuff that, you know, I mean, you know, was going to destroy your career, you know, and right. You know, makes complete sense now. But yeah, he's 42, and Drew Gulak, who I believe it or not, I still think works for WWE, cause he got beat up by Charlotte Flair a couple weeks ago.
Yep.
He's 35, and he's also famous for training a lot of people. So he's definitely a good hand to have around. So it's, I'm sorry, folks, it's DC and I tonight. Everyone else is having issues or, you know, have lives, you know, and it's Thursday night here in Rochester. Danny, you got a life too, I know, but you're happily married. That's a big plus, you know?
I mean, honestly, before I got the email from you, I was just kind of playing some video games, so.
Okay.
Well, that's my downtime.
Excellent. We won't. So now we got, sorry, folks, if you're in the chat room, the beginning of the show, I don't know what was going on. I was on another planet, so something goofy with my computer, but
not helping those people that think we support, you know, the demonic satanization of wrestling with you know, guys like Malachi Black and the House of Black and all that.
That's right. Yeah, no, I don't think I, you know, it's funny, I would love someone to actually like take the audio, tape it and slow it down and play it back for us, you know. It'd be like, wouldn't it be threatening if someone like left it on your voicemail or something? I don't know, maybe it would be. I don't know.
Like, did you ever take a Chipmunks record? Yeah. And play it at slow speed so the chipmunks sound fine, but then, you know, the gentleman sounds like a
Dave. Dave. Yeah, yeah. Oh, I mean, that's you just gave away their secret, man.
It was actually three adult men and a demon.
Yeah, 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 of course. And it's funny, is, you know, you imagine he probably just held his finger down when they were recording it and slowed down the platter or whatever it was going to. It's like, or sped it up, actually. So, well, We're going to talk about a few things today. If you, I know there's some people in the chat room that I did, I didn't scare away with my demonic possession that started the show. But I only have a few topics, but just because, but there's a lot of news that is definitely worth debating about. But I want to start with, and I know, you know, I think this was made a big deal on Monday Night Raw. I keep poo-pooing it before I heard it, but they had like 20 years of RKO, and they kind of did a celebration, and you had like, you know, Randy Orton talk about how he's like, you know, I believe it was shoot answers. He said he's happier than any time in his career. He's happy doing what he's doing right now, and he says it's because Riddle, he thinks they are like best of friends and stuff like that. But he's also like tight with Cena. He's tight with a lot of the guys used to be on the, you know, in wrestling there and that are gone now. But there, he says he's really tight and he's super happy. And then they on Monday Night Raw, they decided to do this, you know, 20 years of Randy Orton from the beginning when he looked like, a kid, you know, a young kid. It had hair, and then, you know, into what he's, and he hasn't really changed physically. He looks like the same kind of body, you know, for 20 years, which is great. Anybody would kill for that. But did you get to see any of that, Danny?
I actually did, because, you know, he's one of those guys where, you know, there were points where I absolutely loved what they were doing with him, and then there were times where I absolutely hated what they were doing with him. But he even admitted as much, like, you know, the fact that he's been solid with WWE for 20 years. I mean, there's not very many people that can say something like that. And the fact that he said he wants his other, you know, legacy to be the fact that he's going to spend his entire career there, which that makes sense to me. But I loved hearing him also, you know, give a lot of credit to Mick Foley for, you know, really kind of launching him. I mean, obviously he got the rub from being in Evolution with guys like Batista, Ric Flair, and Triple H. But that feud he had with Foley, like he said, like that's when he became the Legend Killer and he started to become something totally different.
Yeah. You know, I think, and, you know, because we've been doing this show for so long, we were before Randy Orton and we were during Randy Orton and we're still during Randy Orton. So, but we were, I remember when he came and that, you know, a lot of people, you know, felt he got like a lot of leeway because of his lineage, we'll say, you know. And
well, I mean, what was that nickname he had for a while? Two strikes or three strikes, Randy? Like,
yeah.
He was getting in trouble a lot, yeah. And he's one of those guys that didn't seem to suffer as much as other people who did similar things.
Well, we used to like count how many, you know, how many strikes he had, and it may have been up to four at one time, you know, seriously. But, you know, I mean, he was a dude who, you know, and it's funny now that he, because of that RKO Bro 420 shirt or whatever, you find out that he, yeah, some of the things about how, well, I mean, I remember seeing him in Buffalo. He's definitely, his eyes were like about, you know, slits, you know, but I think he definitely partakes. And he's one of the guys who said that came to the office and, you know, fought or, you know, went from all the people and, you know, and made it not criminal or whatever, or they're not enforcing the positive tests because it's legal in so many states everywhere else, you know? So it's Ms. Wise, but I mean, yeah, it's funny as he and Riddle are the ones who kind of went to management about it. So not saying anything, but you know, Randy, I think everyone may have hated him for years, but when he, you know, when you realize he was like a rebel there, and he was like, you know, he didn't care if he got in trouble for some of the things he did, you know, and he did get in trouble, you know, and you know, I'm sure he got talked to many, many times, but you know, he kind of had something that they couldn't fire him over, which is pretty cool. But then I think it's when he started having fun and like, you know, just like when the whole Randy Orton out of nowhere, he kind of loved that. And I mean, it got him into social media too, because I remember he never really was on there. And then all of a sudden, and then I don't know if you saw the video, DC, there was a video too of him RKOing all his kids in the pool and like on a couch and stuff. And that was like hilarious. You know, it's like, boy, you don't
want to have the video of him twerking in his driveway.
I have not seen that one yet. No, I definitely have not seen that one. Mad Dog, except for Cody now, he's got to be the most famous second generation wrestler, or third actually. And yeah, his grandfather too. That's true. You know, he, you know, that, you know, and I think, you know, I haven't. Now I'm gonna have to go find a twerk. But I think that it's funny that, you know, he kind of embraces, you know, being liked, even if he's not doing something people like. Remember, he's the one who used to, you know, kick people in the head. I mean, that was, you know, that was pretty vicious, especially when someone got hurt from it maybe a couple times, you know. And we know that John Cena's dad got a concussion from one. But I don't know. He's just, I think, you know, maybe I'm not giving him credit and I'm going to miss him when he's gone. You know, I'll be like, you know, was he the greatest ever? I think he probably was the most solid hand, probably one of the most solid hands. And
absolutely.
And he, you know, he was in the right place at the right time. The whole, you know, the way he was in Doctrine when they brought him into, Evolution, you know, it was like, that was a big, you know. And he kind of lived.
And how about the lasting impact he's had on the Pain Clinic with the Randy News Network sounder?
Oh yeah, yeah. I used that for many many years. If I use CDs still, I would do that. But I think then we'd probably get blocked on Facebook because you play any.
Just an update. I am at 76% health.
We would play. I remember that because I've seen him talk about that time in his career because he was about to get a huge push and then he got hurt. And he said that they still wanted him at TV every week, so, and he was doing that the whole time. So I think, yeah.
And isn't that what we used to use for a sounder for the Painies as well?
Yeah, I used it for so many. I used it for when Buddy used to call the soccer show. That was his bed too. He would call our show too, and I would run that underneath him. Yeah, so Buddy.
No, I definitely do think he's one of those guys that he definitely had some highs and lows in his career. And he did have that stretch down the line where he was just a solid hand. And there were so many more exciting performers around him that, you know, he got this label of being boring or bland.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because, you know, he isn't doing the stuff that these younger guys are coming in and doing, but he's been there long enough where who the hell does he have to impress? And he doesn't need to go out of his way to do stuff like that. That's not what his role is there.
True.
But I mean, there's points, and you could point to different points in his career where people could have loved him or hated him for a lot of reasons. Like, you know, the whole thought of, did he put Kofi down because of that one botch in that one match? Is that why Kofi didn't get pushed higher for as long as he did?
It's a good question. You know, Kofi gave him a lot of credit for his move up into WWE for that whole series of matches. So I think Kofi has nothing good things to say, even if they use that, you know. And Randy Orton's, you know, going to pull any punches. He's not the first guy that he's criticized in the middle of a match. I think Mr. Kennedy was also another dude who, I think he hurt Randy's shoulder one time. They kept him out for a while.
And that was pretty much it for him.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, oh, he's our money, man. Don't be putting him out, you know. And so, oh, you're gone. Enjoy TNA or whatever. I think that's where he went.
Wasn't that the Monday Night Raw in St. Louis when Vince was feuding with Stan Kroenke?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And they had that big interpromotional match.
Yeah. Yeah, man. And, yeah.
I think that's where he got injured. Because I feel like they were wearing sports jerseys at the time.
I was going to say, he's a guy also that kept having the same shoulder get injured too. So he definitely, you know, that's one thing I've always worried about Randy Orton is I thought he was going to be retired like 5 years ago when he kept having the shoulder separation issues. And he may have had surgery. I'm not sure. But, yeah, that's, you know, him, you know, some people would frown upon that. And he was a frat boy too for many years. And some people might also hold it against him that he went AWOL in the military and that's how, and had to like get a lawyer to get out. I guess he was in military jail and for a while. And he, right before he came to WWE, cause he had changed his mind. He's like, nah, I don't want to be in the military anymore. I want to go to work for Vince McMahon, make a lot of money, you know? And some people in the military may have an issue with him because of that, you know? But I mean, it was part of his story when he first showed up. They always admitted to it. So, you know, but maybe he'll write his life story now that he's like been 20 years, you know, probably doesn't need to make much more money.
I don't know. By the sounds of thing in a Q&A session he did this week, he spends the rest of his time playing video games on his bus. So,
oh, he's got one of the buses too.
By the sounds of things, yeah.
Yeah, excellent. Well, I can't think of much more to talk about Randy Orton. Someone's talking about a wrestling movie. What? Oh, Bad Bunny is going to play Spider-Man character La Muerta. Yeah, did you hear about that? Yeah, they're doing, and this is an MCU movie too. So this must be. I don't really know that dude is in Spider-Man because I stopped reading comics a long, long time ago. So
Dante, Slow Your Roll, Ready to Rumble is a fantastic movie.
Oh yeah, don't talk bad about Ready to Rumble. Artiste might come, you know, get you. Cause we were there. It was probably like the time when the pain clinic was the best. They actually asked us to come and talk before the movie started. I said okay, and then we realized it's freaking DDP. It's like, oh, sorry, no, I love DDP, but it was like it wasn't Shakespeare, you know.
Anything, the worst thing to come about because of that movie was David Arquette getting the world championship.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, good Lord. It was so close to here. I mean, we saw DDP win it the day before, and then the next day he won it. It was like, oh, I had tickets and I never went. It's like a...
Maybe it's for the best.
Yeah, DDP's a co-writer of his biography, his first biography, gave me tickets to it, and it's like, oh, man, last night in Rochester, I don't know if I could do two nights in a row, you know. Well, it was a big regret because I could have seen David Arquette win the title, but I watched it on TV anyway. So there's some, I don't know how many wrestling good movies on. There's one. What's the one with the tag team women's with the guy from the A Team who played a face in the A Team, Starbuck. He was like a manager of a women's tag team. Maybe someone out there can remember what it was called. It's like, I think Raquel Welch was in it.
It was a movie?
Yeah. Yeah. And it had Ric Flair was in it and Harley Race was in it and Roddy Piper was in it. And so was a young Samoan. I think it was the Tonga Kid. No. Paradise Alley was Terry Funk. That's Dante. That's close.
My wrestling knowledge movie ends at Ready to Rumble and The Wrestler.
Yeah. Well, there is one before that from the 70s where it has like all these cameos, like Fred Blassie's in it for a few seconds. And I think, Lou Albano, a few managers from the WWE, but I remember Ric Flair was in it, and it was about this women's tag team, that would tour around, and wrestle all different places, but you know, they were on a mixed card, so they would have men on there too. And it was interesting seeing all like the cameos, but, and I'll figure it out before the end of the show. So I'm going to continue on.
Trying to do like all the marbles.
Yeah. All the marble. I think, is it Dirk Benedict? Is that his name? The guy from the A team
cast. Peter Falk, John Hancock, Burt Young.
Oh, I don't know. I think All the Marbles was a roller derby movie. I think it
was it.
Maybe I'm not, maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. But, I thought that
crooked but lovable Harry Sears manages a pair of sexy young female wrestlers, Iris and Molly, who call themselves the California Dolls.
Yep, that's it. Yeah, you got it. That's definitely it. So yeah, if you want to check, it's fun and it's not too bad. You know, I mean, there's no nudity, I don't think, in it. And but it's like, you know, these two, and it's like they treat it like wrestling's real. Okay, I mean not real, but they play kayfabe on it. So everyone's like their character in the ring, you know, when they're in the locker room and stuff. Definitely check that out. Put that in your like Netflix queue. There's other wrestling movies, but that I just saw that they had like every once in a while you see like, you know, clickbait stuff on Facebook and stuff where it's like 10 great wrestling appearances in movies. And then it'll like go through all these movies with, I think that's Triple H was the newest one. He played like a bad guy in some movie, and I don't ever remember seeing that. But
was it The Chaperone?
Yes. I remember that. Yeah, that was it. Yeah. Oh my God. It was. Yeah.
I'm so embarrassed that I knew that so quickly.
Did you see Ready to Rumble in the theater?
I did not. I did not see it in the theater.
Okay, because it was like a 1 week. It had like it's probably, you know, I don't think it made its money back. I don't think it, you know, but wrestling was popular when it came out. So that's the thing, what they kind of, maybe that kind of sunk it.
Did you know, though, that the DVD is hard to find?
Is it really?
Keep talking, Cash. Okay. Keep talking. Well, I'm still here. I can hear you.
You know, the king, you know.
The fact that they got him to play a wrestler in that movie to me is just.
Alfred Molina plays Doc Ock in Spider-Man, and he's like, you know, in Fiddler on the Roof and a bunch of things, you know.
That's okay. I mean, that's true.
Yeah. So, you know, they do usually have some, you know, we're not even talking about wrestling, are we? Oh, we're talking about wrestling movies.
I mean, kind of are.
Yeah, it's wrestling movies. He was kind of drifted because maybe it's just because we're halfway through the week and we don't have everything done for the week already. Like, usually we're on Saturday mornings and we can talk about everything that happened Friday night. Now we're just kind of.
I was going to show what a nerd I am by finding my still sealed copy of Ready to Rumble, but it's here somewhere.
Yeah, well, it's probably.
You'll just have to take my word for it, Cash.
I believe it, Danny. You guys can quote that movie, so you know.
I mean, there's one particular line that us fellows on the pain clinic like to quote when it comes to that movie.
Oh, body slam! That's what Dante is calling. He thought it was body slam that. Maybe All the Marbles was a wrestling movie too, but I look up the movie called Body Slam. And of course, I also see Dante mentioned No Holds Barred. I've never seen it, thank goodness. No Hold WWE. It was, what do they call it? Basically they put Hulk Hogan against a new guy, but it was supposed to be like Hulk Hogan's big debut, you know,
So I'm wondering if maybe you got the movies crossed.
Okay. Cause was all the Marbles?
I'm trying to find like the synopsis for Body Slam.
It might be Body Slam. Cause, I think Dante's
Body
right.
Slam stars Dirk Benedict, yep. Roddy Piper, Tanya Roberts, Sam Fatu, Captain Lou Albano.
Okay. Now read what the description, it's going to sound exactly like the other one you just read.
The film revolves around a down-and-out music promoter who inadvertently becomes a successful professional wrestling manager. After being exiled from the business by a rival manager, he finds success in promoting shows that feature both wrestling and rock music. The film features many well-known wrestlers of the time and references the rock and wrestling era of professional wrestling.
That's right. Dirk Benedict actually managed two Samoan wrestlers. One was, I think you mentioned when you were going through the list of people in it, it was the Samoa Kid, I think his name was, in the WWE at the time. He was one of the Samoans, but he was like
but Sam Fatu was the Tonga Kid.
Yeah, Tonga Kid. That's who I'm thinking. And so he definitely is in it. Roddy Piper's definitely in it, but it's
the
like,
Samoans were in it.
Everybody was in the movie. It was like, you know, it's like, it was like end up, but it was more NWA guys that we don't, you know, so maybe, you know, they didn't have as many WWE guys were allowed to do it or anything, but it was all kind of like, I treated wrestling like it was real. So it's like, you know,
the Barbarian.
Yeah.
Ric Flair, Freddie Blassie, Adnan El-Kaisis, Bruno Sammartino, Alexis Smirnoff also appear.
Wow. It definitely just give it a watch. You know what? It's fun. You know, if you like, I don't know, Weekend at Bernie's, you might like this, you know, I mean, Weekend at Bernie's is fun once maybe or twice, you know, if you do this all the time, you know, it's like,
where do you stand on Weekend at Bernie's 2?
It's the same as Weekend at Bernie's 1.
It receives so much hate. I'm probably going to get crucified for this in some circles on the internet somewhere, but I prefer Weekend at Bernie's 2 over the original.
Wow. Yeah.
There's something about a possessed walking around Bernie that it gets me every time.
Yeah, it is a heart toucher, you know, and I mean if anyone's listening to this, they're going, oh, there we lost everybody, I'm guessing. We're talking
like, what the hell are these guys talking about?
Yeah, so let's go. Like, so let me see, we're talking about Randy Orton, we're all done. So we're gonna go to the next. So we're gonna talk about some returns this past week in the world of professional wrestling, particularly WWE and AEW. And I'll start with the first one that happened this week. Yes, it was the first one. I think on Raw, we're watching Raw, and about an hour into it, Mustafa Ali comes out, and it's like, didn't this guy ask to get fired in January? And usually when you do something like that, we don't see you on TV, you know?
It's a very bold move putting someone out on TV that is openly talked about their disdain for the company and wanting out.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, knowing Luke Harper a little bit, we've talked about that. That's one of the things he was kind of very protective of is, man, you criticize your boss at all. And you're, you know, a lot of times, maybe you're not on TV ever again. So, and that's what I was expecting from him, but he showed up on Monday. So he came out and he actually kind of talked about sitting, you know, for the last 5 months or whatever. He didn't specifically quote some of his Twitter stuff, but thank goodness. But, so I'm guessing, like, much like Luke Harper said, you know, I was on a contract and I worked to the end of the contract. That's why he showed up that one time. Was it on Raw? It was like towards the end of his run. He came out there once. It was like maybe he was like a lumberjack or something around the ring, I think. I can't
something remember. Random, yeah.
Yeah, it was not, you know, they didn't focus on him or anything, but he was there.
Oh, didn't he interfere in a Redbeard match? Or was it the other way around?
Trying to remember, but I know he was out for a while. He never criticized them either, and so they just wouldn't use him until they called him to use him at the very end, and then he just wrote out like the last month and a half, I think, on his contract. But yeah, so maybe that's what we're doing with Mustafa Ali. Maybe they can get past what he said because he makes money because he's a good wrestler and he deserves. I don't know.
The whole thing just seems so odd to me.
Yeah.
Like the only, like I can totally see like Vince and the guys backstage just being totally vindictive about it and only bringing him out to lose. But the fact that A, they let him pick up a win, and B, it looked like they transitioned right to a program with no longer Tommaso Ciampa. I don't know. I find the timing very interesting. Like I know it's post WrestleMania, they're trying to freshen things up, but why now?
Yeah,
bringing out a guy that you haven't done anything with in what, a year?
I can't even remember the last. I mean, we assumed we'd see him even maybe in a, you know, something like a Royal Rumble or something, and nope, he was off once he said something, and it was in January he said it too. Once he posted something, it's like, oh, I asked for my release today or something like that. That's basically what he wrote. And then he later went, I'm sure he talked to somebody because he didn't post that. Oh, they said no, but he didn't post it, but everybody else did. So it's like, I don't know whether they get the inside information, but, yeah, so, you know, I'll give him credit. He's back and he's still like kind of the evil character and everything. And it's like, maybe he's just riding the contract out. So if he is, power to him, I heard, you know, I kind of texted last night, you guys, when we were watching Dynamite, and I had just read this story about how it was Freddie Prinze. Did you see that story I was talking about? Freddie Prinze in an interview said that Triple H made fun of a guy who did his first promo on Raw and got Vince McMahon to laugh and got super producer TV guy to laugh, and then the guy got fired a month later, and then he never was put on TV again. And it was like,
wow. Yeah, what was the quote Triple H said? This guy looks like he mows my lawn.
Like he mows my lawn. And it's like I watched a promo after that, you know, and this is like a while ago. This is when Freddie Prinze was in the company. And so it's like, wow, as much as everyone loves this guy, sometimes he'll do something like that, you know, I mean, or he did something like that, that just kind of gets leaked out now because everyone has so much fond memories of this guy. And it's like,
well, it's not only that, you know, reminding you that, okay, yeah, it's sad that his career ended the way it did, but he's still not squeaky clean. He's not an angel by any stretch of the imagination. But I think the more telling thing from that story Freddie Prinze Jr. told was not that Triple H just cut down that guy and it resulted in his release so quickly. Yeah. To me, it's the fact that he indicated that this was like 3 weeks now they had been talking about the story for this guy and nobody had raised an eyebrow at all. And all it took was that comment from Triple H to destroy it.
Yeah.
It's like nobody said anything the first week. Nobody said anything the second week. Triple H shows up week three, makes the comment, and that was it.
Yeah, yeah. It's funny that, he got Vince McMahon and Kevin Dunn to laugh about it in the meeting and then never got another chance. And it's like – and the dude, I guess, they said – basically they were updating the guy, and he apparently is like an actor now, and he's been in a few movies, and he's like – he's done okay. But it's like, it's just Freddie Prinze was talking about how things that he would write and stuff, and they would, you know, that's one of the things he was working on, and it kind of just killed the whole thing he was working on. So it was like,
yeah,
you know, not only did a guy lose his job, but this, you know, it, and you know, I mean, I'm sure there's more stories like that out there.
And maybe that's an insight too into why creative is the way it is. Why go out there, put yourself out on a limb, push these story angles for stuff when it could be destroyed so quickly.
Yeah. Yeah,
and it's like, if you don't have the power to push through the decisions, what's the point?
Yeah, yeah. And like, why start? I've seen, but you've seen that the sometimes two promos into something, they'll drop it, you know, out of the blue. We've seen that a lot. Remember when they? Do you remember when ECW was trying to start their own show and they had the vampire dude and he had the vampire girl with him, and it was like. They kept the girl, and he was gone. He was gone like very quickly, not even a month.
Was it Kevin Thorne?
Yeah, Kevin Thorne. Yeah, or they didn't like it, so they kept someone Martinez. I can't remember what her first name was, but she was the girl, and I remember she had like the fangs and stuff. But it's like, and then like the zombie, you know, on the original ECW. I know it was a joke, but you know, they ran a couple shows with it, and then they said, you know what, we got to be more realistic. There's a lot of things you see very briefly and then disappear. And then you need wrestling historians and the internet that they'll show you. Go to YouTube and start looking up stuff, you know, one promo wonders, you know, because there's a lot out there, you know, build up to nothing, you know. It's like, I thought Veer was going to be one for a while. It's like
Anonymous Raw General Manager.
Veer is coming. Oh, yeah. That went way too long.
An angle that goes nowhere.
Yeah. Way too
or up. Vince McMahon's son that had to change plans because Kennedy got fired.
Oh man. Yeah. I mean, you always hear like, there's a WrestleMania, I think it was 6, where they were in Vegas, and all of a sudden Hulk Hogan has a black eye, you know, going into his main event match or whatever.
WrestleMania 9.
Yeah. Oh, that's what it was. 9. Yeah. And it's also, Brutus Beefcake too. He had crushed his face in the thing, and so he had to have
So it was Hogan and Beefcake versus Money Inc.
Yeah, and it's like they both came out looking like they just got out of a car accident, and it was pretty much that. But no one had a clue when it was going on. They were trying to, you know, they tried to cover up the black eye. You know, it was like, but it's gonna, you know, I just remember that, and it's like, well, you know, outside world sometimes wins over WWE world, you know, unfortunately. So that's the first one that debuted. I'm sorry, on Monday I kind of drifted off there. The second one, Asuka. Asuka made Asuka's return, came out and like did a bloop to Becky Lynch's nose, and then left. And Becky Lynch got all mad, you know, with her new hairstyle. I don't know about that. I liked her longer hair, but you know, maybe it'll grow on me. But yeah, so Asuka came back. Asuka's been ready to come back since WrestleMania, so they just had to work her in. You know, it's good. Asuka, I like Asuka, and I think a lot of fans do. The nose flick. Yeah, whatever. I thought it was a boop. Dante calls it a nose flick. But it just out-nerved Becky Lynch, and she ran out of the ring and left. And it was a good return, definitely. Fans were loud for her, so I'm surprised, you know. But I do like her, too. I think she's another one who's like an unsung hero of the COVID era, because she and Bayley, you know, were pretty much, you know, the main show for Raw for a while there, you know. And man, we're going to remember this back someday in the future, talk about the COVID years, because no audience, you could hear them talking while you're listening to the show from the ring, because nobody's there. So I'm happy Asuka's back. We haven't seen Asuka since, I can't remember. I think they said Royal Rumble was the last one. I can't remember.
No, she's been, I feel like she's been gone longer.
Maybe it was like since November. Maybe it was since, but you know, it's a good thing for the women's division. That's for sure. Without a doubt. Hey, Rennie made it. Sorry, we're doing it on Thursday night. Used to be the regular night. I mean, regular time, Saturday morning. But right now we're going through some returns. There was a few this week. Mustafa Ali and Asuka we've gotten to so far. Not sure, but Asuka, yeah, I know she's been out for a while. I'm just trying to remember when. I remember when she went out. They, I don't know if they sold an injury angle or they just took her off TV after that. But I remember it was right after she needed to get dental surgery. And, okay, she had a couple things going on with her. I figured, you know, if you ever seen some stories on Asuka, Asuka is like runs a hairdresser's place in Japan and has got a bunch of interests in business and stuff. So I always thought she probably doesn't need to work wrestling if she didn't want to.
I'm seeing a lot of reports about her having an injured arm.
Yeah, that's what he's
back in September. But then I see a report that she had the tooth injury. She had that tooth knocked out back in like February of 2021.
Wow, that was a long time ago. I remember I think it was the arm injury because I think she had the tooth. She definitely wrestled after that tooth was kicked out. I remember that. So,
did she have a match at last year's WrestleMania?
I can't remember. I think she did the first 2 day affair. Well, it's been a while.
Been in the tag team match.
I think, yeah, or she probably was in, I think they may have had a women's battle royale. She might've been involved in something. Well, but it's been a while. I know it's been a while. We know it's, and it's definitely a good thing. Asuka's back.
She's one of those ones that it's a shame she's been on the sideline for as long as she has, because I truly think she's one of the best, if not the best female wrestler they have.
Oh yeah, without a doubt.
And the, like the stuff she did in NXT, that undefeated streak, don't get me started on the fact that it ended to Charlotte Flair at WrestleMania. Cause I think that was a huge mistake, but kind of took the luster and shine off of her. But she's always been like consistently my favorite female wrestler in WWE.
And she was sold as like a killing machine up until that point. And then they allowed her to become kind of more flamboyant and everything after she dropped, after she lost. And that was a bad thing too, is she won the Women's Royal Rumble to get that opportunity at WrestleMania and then lost. I mean, I understand everyone knows their place, and it's like, and she of course got the title. And then one time Becky Lynch handed her the title when Becky Lynch was going to have a baby.
Money in the Bank was her last match.
Okay. So that's like July, is it?
July.
No. Yeah. Oh man.
So,
okay. So
it's just shy of like 10 months.
So, yeah. So it was a pretty big deal. But it's a good thing that, she's back, and maybe, you know, and it's good to have more than, you know, I mean, I don't know. They've always felt like they've only had like one major women's storyline on Raw, you know, for a while. So maybe they can add some more there, which is pretty cool.
Do you think there is a coincidence in Asuka coming back and that opening up some more possibilities, and then Becky Lynch running her mouth about comparing WWE and AEW's women's divisions?
Oh yeah, I don't. It's funny that happened. You know, it's like, you know, WWE probably frowns on that stuff pretty good. They don't like. I mean, they'll boast like crazy, but they, I don't think they like to poke the bear sometimes.
Well, I love the fact that she does that, and then I will say this: for as much as I love AEW and I always kind of champion them, and I always kind of poo poo on WWE.
Yeah.
The women's division is AEW's weakest link right now because they don't quite know what they're doing with it. They have some talent and pieces there, but it's getting lost in the shuffle with everything else they're doing.
I think, yeah. And I think what hurts them is every time they acquire a new talent, that's one less, there's less minutes for them to be on TV. Dustin Rhodes said, I saw a quote from him this week where he says he dreams that the AEW women's division would be as good as the WWE's women's division. I mean, he said that this past week, and there's a lot of truth to that, you know. It's, you know, and they try, but it's like, I don't know. It's just tough. It's a tough situation because, you know, you bring in Punk, you got to give him time every show. You bring in Daniel Bryan, you got to give this time, and where we're going to take it away, you know.
Right.
That's why WWE ignored the tag division for years. And like, I think they wrote off the tag belts at one time, or almost did, you know, it's like, or the women's division, even the WWE, you know, how could
Moolah? I was going to say, it seemed like there was a time where the only tag teams were those slapdash randomly put together tag teams.
Oh yeah. And it's, and I think it's one of
kind of like we still see now.
Yeah. I think Triple H kind of like said, hey, we have to work with someone in their power structure likes tag team wrestling. I don't know. I think it might be Vince McMahon, but I mean, it's like, but he let it dwindle down to nothing almost, you know? And it's like, and so that's when people like Impact Wrestling would have tag teams and like put on great.
It's probably because it's hard enough to make one star.
Yeah.
And that's where Vince always pours his energy into. He needs his next big thing. He needs his Steve Austin, his Rock, his John Cena, his Roman Reigns, his Brock Lesnar. It's hard enough to do it with one guy. He's going to have a hell of a time getting a tag team that you could put in a position like that.
Do you think we don't give them credit for what they've done, even though we don't honestly think there's been a character like Steve Austin in that company since, I mean, or John Cena, you know, I mean, no, there's nobody with like super popularity like that, or maybe there is, and we're just not giving them credit. You know, I think, cause I don't really, it's very bland. You know,
I mean, let's be honest. It does not have the mainstream appeal that it did.
Yeah.
And I don't know if they're ever going to have that again. You know, those late 90s, early 2000s, that was lightning in a bottle in the wrestling industry. I honestly don't think we're ever going to see a period like that again. And I don't think we're going to ever see it enter, you know, culture the way it did previously before.
Yeah. You know, I agree. And, you know, I mean, but we also don't have people like The Rock and like Steve Austin and you know, and like, you know, the NWO. I mean, there's that. I just watched this Hulk Hogan Evil episode where Hulk Hogan, where it's basically the whole story of the NWO, even the bad stuff about the company, you know, about them, you know, about the bad things that some of those guys did when they were booking and stuff, you know, I mean, there's nothing like that now. I mean, I don't think they give people a chance. I mean, maybe the New Day. I think New Day might be like one of those generational type of thing, tag teams, you know? But I don't ever feel like I like Drew McIntyre a lot, but he's not Steve Austin. He's not The Rock, you know? So, I mean, and you think about who they really push heavily, you know, and it's like, and they let someone like Daniel Bryan go. Daniel Bryan had the people in his hand. He's the one who like, you know,
it wasn't their handpicked person.
No, it wasn't. So let me go, since we're talking about the returns and we've got one more to go, we kind of stretch this topic out quite a bit. What about Phoenix or whatever we call him showing up, which the last time we saw him, his elbow was going in the wrong direction.
Yeah. We all thought he had shattered his arm.
Yeah.
But
it was great seeing him come back. Obviously he's got that thing on his arm, that taped up arm and his elbow. But man, the last time we saw him, it was like he went flying out of the ring over the top rope and went through a table
and the elbow is in an angle it does not naturally exist in.
Yeah, and that, you know, he probably just, they said if he was lucky, he dislocated his elbow, and that's something you can put back in, and that's probably what happened.
Yeah,
but yeah, he was great last night. It's like I'm kind of getting tired of factions beating up other factions. Is that like how, you know? I mean, we used to joke about that with AEW, but it seems like it's.
I'm just glad he's back so they can, you know, hit play again on House of Black, because you can tell they've just had them sitting idle because they were waiting for, you know, Ray to get healthy again. But I'm sorry. Give me Death Triangle versus House of Black.
Oh, yeah.
I am down. And, you know, as good as AEW is with their tag teams, I know people are on the fence of, do we want a trios title? Do we not? They have some unbelievable trios right now.
Oh, they do. Yeah.
You got the Blackpool Combat Club. You got the House of Black. You got Death Triangle. You got, you know, pick your combination of, you know, the Undisputed Elite.
What about Jericho Appreciation?
Jericho Appreciation.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, I agree.
There's a lot of possibilities there. a trios team with Powerhouse Hobbs, Ricky Starks, and Hook, you know.
Yeah, they love. I think that we're going to see a trios something someday, because there's so many good ones right now that it would be dumb not to book like a trios tournament or something and have like some big, you know. I mean, like CZW does, you know, or you know, I think it's CZW who does the trios, but it's like. that I think that there's, I agree. And it's like, but I think any good tag team's a trio anyways. You have to have the third guy, you know? It's like, it's almost a prerequisite. So, but yeah, they have some talent, man. It's crazy, you know? And it's like, and that's another reason why we're not getting the women on TV that much, you know? It's like, I still kind of feel a little bit burnt because of Britt Baker and that whole Pittsburgh thing she did last week. And I just don't think it got over, but that's me. I mean,
And I don't know how much of it is, you know, I mean, really everybody wanted Britt to be champion. She had a great run. It definitely reached a point where it needed to end, yeah. And it rightfully did. But the women's division has been flat ever since.
Yeah.
Nothing against Thunder Rosa, but her first defense in the whole program with Nyla Rose was terrible. It was awful.
Yeah.
And then Britt coming back, that whole promo was awkward and forced. And, you know, you have Jade Cargill who is making improvements, but, you know, who's really going to challenge her? And now to make matters worse, you know, the talent that they do have, yeah, fighting for airtime. And now they advertise Deonna Purrazzo for next week.
I saw that.
And I think it's, you know, where do the women they have, where do they fit in?
Yeah, that's a good question. Yeah, I will say that, you know, maybe if you got to be part of an entourage or whatever, that'll get you some TV time at least. I hate to say it, but yeah, that's what we're getting right now with Dan Lamberts and his group. You know, what's her name? Hold on,
Paige Van Zandt.
Paige. Check out her
Instagram.
Yes, her Instagram. She does a lot of Q&As. I love it. She's always doing a Q&A, but. I bet you she'd come on the show if we asked her. I bet you she'd come in and hang out with us. She seems pretty cool. She came out this past week only because Lambert was getting beat up, and she came out to defend against Ty Conti, which was they're trying to.
She came out to a huge pop too.
I know, which is surprising because I thought they not like Guerrero.
Oh no, they've totally turned on him.
Oh, really? I mean,
yeah, they have pulled off quite the switch. With going from Scorpio being the heel and Sammy being the face to a total 180 over the span of a couple of weeks.
Yeah. Well, I know that they were on Twitter causing problems by saying, you know, sending messages to Cody saying, yeah, we took all your heat, bro, once you left, you know, or whatever. It's like, and they were getting, you know, the Brandy Cody heat or whatever. And
I do have a question too. Did we establish this week that perhaps AEW and Tony Khan can learn to be just as petty as Vince and WWE? Because do you think it's a coincidence that Scorpio Sky is the TNT champion? Sammy Guevara beats him to become a three-time champion and then immediately drops the title back?
Yeah.
Because now we don't have to say who the only three-time champion was.
Oh, sure. Yeah, that's kind of, you know. I think they have like little inside jokes sometimes with the way they're doing things, you know? Did Scorpio Sky get popped too when he won? It sounded like it. I mean, but the show ended like 2 seconds after that, you know? It was like,
yeah, he got a huge pop when he won.
And it was a ladder match too. I thought it was really, you know, it was fun to watch. I'm always very nervous during ladder matches because I think if you're going to get hurt, that's when you're going to get hurt is in one of those matches, you know? And it was great. No, they pounded each other and took that one Sammy Guevara into
the Spanish fly onto the barbed wire.
Yeah, onto the barbed wire that bounced to the ground. It's like, you know, yeah. Oh, Mad Dog wants to know why there's two TNT belts. Because
did they finally get rid of the one?
No, but they still because he's wearing it still. So
Dan Lambert didn't have it on since Sammy got it back.
Oh, maybe he didn't. So there was two because Cody Rhodes had the TNT title and then got COVID and missed 1 week, and so we had to make an interim champion, and so that interim champion got the same belt, and pretty much he wrestled. I think was it Guevara who wrestled Cody for the belt, and then Guevara won and got, and then he was carrying two belts for a while. And they, I don't know. I think that was it. So I mean, it was kind of like, yeah, none of us liked it. We don't like guys.
It's a good thing Artiste isn't here because man, he hated that interim championship.
Oh yeah, yeah, he did. He definitely Yeah, but it was like he missed 1 week, Mad Dog. He just missed 1 week, and then because of COVID, and then he was back, and it's like it's so stupid. But that's what UFC does, you know. A UFC fighter sets for a fight and then tests, and then like has a health issue and has to get out of it. He may be the champion. All of a sudden, now this fight's for the championship, and the champion has now. Or for the interim belt, they do that a lot in the UFC, and then they have an interim. Then the original title holder gets to wrestle for his belt's considered interim as well. He gets to wrestle; they both wrestle or fight each other for the belt, and it happens all the time in UFC. And it probably why it's lost popularity. Okay, I'm just saying. I mean, I think I hate stuff like that, but So Fenix was the last guy I wanted to mention that, and we did mention him coming back. It's good, you know. We'll see. I'm sure he probably hasn't lost anything. The guy was like a high flying crazy, you know, he do crazy bumps. Just gotta be careful of those tables when you jump over the top rope and you land on them.
Yeah.
I think the table gave, and when he hit it, it went all the way to the ground, and that's it.
He kind of landed on the table with his arm off the table.
Yeah.
And I think that sudden impact of hitting the table kind of threw his arm in an awkward motion, and then it made contact with the floor and just.
Oh, yeah, it was gross.
It was disgusting.
I know. And
I was so glad I didn't notice that as it happened.
I did, and I was like, oh, my, I'm not going to go back and watch this. Yeah, definitely not. So. Okay, so one other thing, since we're talking about AEW and that show this past Dynamite, was a good show because we got to see Harwood versus Wheeler to start the show. We got to see FTR taking each other on. And these guys, you know, pride themselves in their old school delivery, and that's what we got. And I thought it was a great match, and I hated that someone had to win. You know, but it was a fun way to start the show, that's for sure. And I don't think... that's one cool thing is they usually have solid matches to start every show. And it's once again, another solid match, and it was fun. And I don't think it caused any problems, but they did kind of like do their not cheating moves, but they're, the referee's not seeing this move kind of stuff a couple times, you know, and they both accepted that and they hugged each other at the end. But what did you think of that crazy match?
Oh, I loved it. I loved that match. Technical wrestling that you don't get to see too often, and they did mix in some big spots there. But I mean, when's the last time you saw two guys in a tag team face off and they both come out at the same time to the same music, like they're about to go into a match together, and then they just square off?
Yeah.
Not only that, I don't know if anybody got the chance to see it. If you didn't, go out and find it, but AEW did a fantastic like 7 or 8 minute long video package where it featured both guys talking about, you know, how much the other means to the other and how much it means to them to be a team and how much to get this opportunity to face each other and how much Owen Hart means to the both of them. It was such a good piece that they rolled out before the match. It got me so hyped for it, and the match just it was perfect.
Yeah it was. And I think that I hope it doesn't really have them spawn any more matches. They don't need to take each other on. But it's funny is they're getting just talked about so much by everybody in the world right now, because there was talk last week, and we didn't really bring it up, but there was talk that WWE was interested in signing them if they ever became free agents. And then there was a quote from, I think, Wheeler, who said, yeah, they want to sign us because they don't want AEW to have us. You know, it's more important that's what he said, his suggestion was. And it's true. I mean, they could have signed a contract. They paid him a lot more money and stayed with WWE, and they didn't. And that's when WWE was spending like there was no tomorrow for some reason. You know, they were signing everybody, and it's like, I think that's when Luke Harper was telling us at the time too, that he turned down a new contract that would have paid him more. I know he said that, you know. And
it's shocking. Some of these wrestlers actually want to wrestle.
Yeah, you know, or
and the money isn't the only thing they're out for.
No, Luke, we know he was more than just a tag team guy. You know, I mean, we knew that he could be the focus of we know that just from seeing him here in town. I know he could. You know, he was funny. You let him get to it. He's well spoken, and that's why he turned down more money and just came and went to AEW. So,
I know how disappointed we all were too when you know, that WrestleMania season was approaching, and he got to be involved in that program a bit, and people were behind him to be involved in that. And that wasn't a fluke. But of course, you know, WWE being the way they are sometimes, it doesn't pan out.
Yeah. And you know, the funny thing is we always talk about these guys going from one company to another company. And it's like, you think about a 3-year contract or a 4-year contract, you could work between those two companies for, you know, 4 or 5 different times over your career. So it wasn't like that before with the, you know, the world of wrestling. You know, when you were WCW, Ric Flair was there for many, many, many years before he ever came up to WWE. You know, a lot of these guys were like that. And same for WWE guys. Where else did they have to go? They disappear from WWE, and then they would be like on like local show stuff, but then come back eventually. There's a lot of guys that would take breaks. They could still take breaks back then and stuff, and, you know, not, you know, let the contracts lapse and then get another one like in 6 months or whatever after, like, you know, doing whatever they want to do for a while. And, but it was, you know, that was long days ago, though. But, you know, nowadays it's like these guys, you know, look at it. We got Cody Rhodes. Who would have thunk 3 years ago we were going to see Cody Rhodes on Raw, you know? I mean, especially when, you know.
And that's the thing, too. If AEW didn't get off the ground, would he be there right now?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, actually, that's funny because he.
I don't think he'd have the leverage in the contract. He probably does.
Oh, no, definitely not. He got an opportunity to be on national TV and be in the spotlight a lot with AEW that WWE wasn't giving him the chance unless he put on a spacesuit and, you know, colored his face gray or whatever it was, you know. You know, I don't know. It's silly. But, you know, but that's the sense. It's good for the wrestlers that there's competition. We'll just say that. But
Speaking of Cody Rhodes, can I show you a piece of memorabilia I totally forgot I had?
What's that?
And I got to put it back on display this week.
It has something to do when he, like, landed on us in the front row. And
Nope. So you remember one of Cody's angles where he – remember when his face got injured, right?
Oh, yeah, the plastic mask.
Yeah, and then – he talked about how hideous everybody was at ringside, and they used to give out those paper bags to cover people's faces.
Yeah. There we go. There we go. I remember that. Yeah, I was going to say, I thought he didn't give you one of those plastic Phantom of the Opera masks he used to wear, too, you know.
He went from dashing Cody Rhodes to grotesque Cody Rhodes. Yeah. It was fantastic.
Yeah.
They made him a heel by slowing his music down.
Yeah. It made him turn into the Phantom of the Opera. You know, he was doing very, very interesting stuff. So,
and let's remember too, Cash, if it wasn't for Cody Rhodes, we wouldn't have WrestleMania, baby. Woo!
True. Dante, I'm watching Impact. Okay, right now it's Honor No More just won a match as a 5-way tag team. So I'm not that I'm watching it, but it's over my shoulder here. So we're going to talk about Impact and some of the changes that happened in the pay-per-view last weekend, but we're going to get to news now. I'm going to whip through the news. So we've got a bunch of news this week after Cassie Lee and Jessica McKay did not win on the pay-per-view for Impact. They decided, and it's not because they're leaving to step away from in-ring action. I'm not sure. Maybe when, I don't know what's going on, but you know, they thanked Impact and stuff, but you know, they're just taking some time away from the business. Maybe someone's going to have a baby. I'm just guessing. I don't know. They want to have private time. So you're not going to see, what do they call it? Inspiration. They are leaving. Yeah. Oh, they're leaving wrestling to act. Yeah. I'm going to turn to the draft once wrestling's over. I want to see who Washington picks. I'm not even sure.
I mean, I will say this. I did always find those two more entertaining backstage in their little segments than I ever did in the ring.
Oh, yeah. No, definitely. I mean, they definitely did the promos well in the back and just being like, you know, Australian. That's their trait was Australian.
A pair of obnoxious Australians.
Yeah, pretty much. So they're taking some time away. Some other news. So Mad Dog asked me if Taz's little boy is ever going to meet the monster in the ring to wrestle Danhausen. Danhausen.
They're gonna face off.
I know Danhausen had wrestling tights on this week. I'm assuming he's about ready to come back. But yeah, we're going to see Hook and Danhausen sometime. Maybe they'll save it for pay-per-view. They do have another pay-per-view coming up soon. So I wouldn't be surprised, but yeah, I think that's definitely going to happen. So what else happened to this past week's TV is Adam Page couldn't be there. Cause he got the vid COVID-19. And it's still a thing, folks. COVID-19, it's still a thing. It's still going to be a thing. Get your shots, get your boosters, do whatever you got to do, wear a mask, whatever you got to do to stop it, or slow it down, to soften the curve. Okay. But unfortunately, Adam Page tested positive. I have friends, there's people here in Rochester. It's been huge numbers recently, and it's this new variant that just is very catchy. I have friends who are going through it right now. I went through it. So it's man, just be careful. And Adam Page, take it easy. Don't bring it back and give it to everybody. But if you're going to watch AEW tomorrow night, Rampage tomorrow night, they've got a pretty good set list of what's going on. Samoa Joe, Trent Beretta for the ROH Championship. Trent Beretta cut a great promo last night saying about how, he was in Ring of Honor for all this time and he never had gold ever. And it's this is it. So that's going to be fun. We got Swerve taking on Darby Allin in the Owen Hart tournament qualifier. Jade Cargill and Red Velvet and Kira Hogan versus Willow Nightingale, Trisha Dora and Sky Blue. And was Red Velvet and Kira Hogan called again? The baddies. The baddies. Yeah, so they're the baddie. I don't understand. I like Red Velvet. I don't know why suddenly she's changed her attitude, okay?
You said, maybe you got to put her in an entourage or put her in a situation just to get her some exposure.
Yeah.
That's the way to do it.
I think
there's no room for her as a singles person, so.
Yeah, that's true. And, if they're going to push Jade Cargill, if you can hook onto that shooting star right now, because she's getting the huge, huge push. We got Colton Gunn versus Keith Lee, on Friday. And could you forget about Keith Lee? Yeah, he's still there. And Hook and Danhausen meet face to face, tooth to tooth.
That's a lot to fit into an hour.
I know. Well, the Danhausen Hook thing is going to be like going to commercial break or something, It's like, and we're backstage here. And So some other news, NXT is doing this show this Tuesday night called Spring Breakin'. They're going to be in their regular slot, but they've got some good matches set up. They got, if you watched NXT last week, Joe Gacy and with some help, beat the tar out of Bron Breakker and, they just stomped him and beat him up, and that's how the show ended. So we're getting an NXT title match, Joe Gacy versus Bron Breakker. Triple threat for the NXT North American title, Solo Sikoa? I think it's Sikoa. But Sikoa. It's eventually going to be Solo Uso, eventually, I think, because he's not identical, but he's good, actually, man. He had a really good match this past week. Taking on Carmelo Hayes and Cameron Grimes for the championship. Viking Raiders, who showed up last week in NXT, are now at least getting some TV time on NXT. Maybe they realize that it's the same channel as Raw that's on, and so it's not minor leagues. That's my beef. The Viking Raiders are taking on the Creed Brothers. Creed Brothers came out at the end of the Viking Raiders match and they posed and did whatnot, and so now we're going to get a match out of them. Natalya and Lash Legend, who's one of the new breakout stars, or will be, taking on Cora Jade and Nikita Lyons. Nathan Frazier debuts versus Grayson Waller. Remember Grayson Waller? We have a sit-down meeting with Tony D'Angelo and Santos Escobar because they keep fighting with each other. In fact, Tony D'Angelo debuted some new guys with him this week. He now has an entourage. He's got it kind of, they're doing like the Sopranos. But he's got Donovan and Lorenzo with him now, and a couple of guys who just signed not that long ago with WWE. So they're being, set up to go quickly to go on the show. They just signed, when was it, in March, mid-March, WWE Performance Class, Center Class, that they had pictures of them and stuff. So, it'd be interesting to watch to see what they go with. I mean, do you like typical Italian mobster characters? It always is a good fallback, but
I mean,
very Brooklyn Broadway.
I would think at this point it's a bit played out.
You'd think so. They, you know, what kind of what stereotypes can we attack? That's the question that we can get away with attacking. You know, we don't. We do hate Russians, but we don't want to give Russians any TV time. You know.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know.
It does. This is why I don't watch. Like, it does nothing for me.
Iran number one, USA number two. Puh. There, sorry.
Is he gonna humble him?
Yeah, just get a little Iron Sheik in there. So, another piece of news as we're going through the 2022 WWE NXT Breakout Tournament starting soon, and there's a handful of names on there. I mentioned earlier Lash Legend. We also have Ariana Grace, who is the daughter of Santino Marella. Remember that when you see her, because then you'll see Santino Marella in her, you know. But she was signed just recently, and she's going to be in this tournament, as well as Kiana James, another new person in the WWE, Sloan Jacobs. So there's four more names they haven't announced yet, but the inaugural tournament happened in 2019, was won by Jordan Miles. And what happens when you win it is you get a shot at whatever belt you want. And Jordan Miles, but that the very first one in 2019 had Dexter Lumis, Bronson Reed, Swerve. So there was a whole handful of people. Excuse me. Cameron Grimes as well from the 2019. I think last year, 2020, was won by, who was it? Oh, no, it was Hayes. Carmelo Hayes won. That was one. That was 2021. So, and I remember Adam Cole winning one of these ones too. And I'm not sure which one it was, but I remember that he like got a shot title shot after winning it too. I just remember, can't remember how many years ago it was. My brain doesn't work anymore. So,
I mean, but a lot of the people that you saw in those breakout tournaments are no longer with them, or they're in AEW right now.
Yeah.
Or they're in Impact. You know, Jonah was one of the breakout guys. Swerve Strickland was a breakout guy.
Yeah. True. And but this, the last one, the second tournament featured Andre Chase. Woohoo, Joe Gacy. So I like Andre Chase a little bit. At least they stick with it. They're trying to keep on with that character, but it's like, eh. Yeah, so we'll see what happens. I just know. So that's going to be going on soon. Some other stuff. LA Knight is reportedly finished with the NXT brand. You won't see LA Knight back there. He's doing the night.
We kind of already know that.
Yeah, I know, but sometimes
people, like, all the writing was on the wall there.
Yeah, he lost clean to somebody, and then figured, okay, it's done. I think he lost clean to the champ, to Bronson Breakker on TV, Bron Breakker. And so that I figured then he showed up on Smack, or he's going to show up. He hasn't showed up yet, though. He's been at two of the last two SmackDown tapings, started his night model management company. And supposedly he's got two people already in it, Mace the Face and Mansoor. And well, I forgot Mansoor was still here. they should be debuting soon on SmackDown TV. But LA Knight, he was always mic work. He definitely was. He shouldn't have been on what they consider the minor leagues. Okay, I think because he's not that different a character than he was on Impact. That's for sure. It's, you know, just has a different name, but it seemed like the same guy. So. Kudos to them. I already talked about Mustafa Ali returning. Let's see. Oh, this past week on Monday Night Raw, Edge named his group, him and, of course, him and Priest there, Damian Priest. They're going to be called Judgment Day. So it's like a very...
It was a great pay-per-view back in the day.
I was going to say, it was very Terminator-esque, right? You know, it's like, I think that's one of the Terminator movies, Judgment Day.
It was the second one.
Yep. That's right. Probably the best one, but I'm biased.
Have you seen this, boy?
Yeah. So Judgment Day is Edge's group with AJ, and Edge is taking on AJ Styles at Backlash on May 8th, so that's like in 2 weeks. It's an interesting name. I think they got to add another person. They keep hearing words of possibly Rhea Ripley being part of them. She seemed to be fit in kind of like with the blue light and the weird lights and stuff. But yeah, that's going on with, Judgment Day in Edge. We know that now. And so I also got a note, too, and this is because the NBA playoffs are going on. I don't know if we're ever going to see Rampage at the same time for, like, the next month. I mean, we'll see it, but it'll be all over the schedule because of the NBA playoffs right now. Just warning you. Just, you know, you might have to watch it on DVR because it might be, who knows, it might air after. What was it? The All-Star Game was on or something was on where we aired after it. It was like 11. It was way later than they thought. And speaking of things going on this weekend, there's this boxing match. I don't know if you guys have seen the boxing match yet, this weekend that they're talking about. It's for Saturday's Katie Taylor versus Amanda Serrano. And I've never really seen a women's boxing match built up this much, but WWE kind of bought into it. So they're sending a bunch of their people. So we got Bianca Belair and Becky Lynch are named team leaders for Saturday's boxing match, and Belair will lead Team Serrano, which includes Damian Priest, Queen Zelina, Charlotte Flair, and Alexa Bliss, and Lynch will lead Team Taylor along with Sheamus, Finn Balor, Sasha Banks, and Shayna Baszler. And so WWE obviously has money involved in this boxing match that's going on this Saturday. It's Katie Taylor and Amanda Serrano. I've kind of seen some ads on TV for it too. I don't really follow that close, but it's going to have WWE people all over it, and I'm sure that they're just going to be in their corner or something. Who knows? But
WWE starting to dabble in boxing again. No coincidence that they have some big arena shows coming up and Tyson Fury's name has been thrown around.
Tyson Fury. Now he won his last fight last weekend, and he retired right after it. And then he said he wanted to wrestle Drew McIntyre. You know, so
I could see that being a marquee match at that event in September.
Well, he was in the ring before. Who was it? He in the ring with before? I mean, there was. I remember seeing him in the. Was it the Big Show? I can't remember.
I was gonna say your first thought when it's a gimmicky match like that is it had to be Big Show, right?
Yeah. Well, he did get punched.
I'll have to look up. I can't. It was in a. It was one of the Saudi shows.
Yeah. Oh, that's right.
But I can't remember who it was. Yeah.
That's right.
So now I have to look it up.
Well, he might be on regular TV soon. Anyways, so kudos to him for ending his career as a champion. And though, I mean, you know, there's people still want a shot at him. So
it was Braun Strowman.
Braun Strowman. Oh, we got some news about him coming up here in just a second. Braun Strowman. Let me keep going through the news so we can get done and let you guys have the rest of your night to watch Impact, the last 40 minutes of Impact, which I will watch as well. Impact Wrestling World Champion Moose put his title on the line last weekend against Josh Alexander. Guess who won? Josh Alexander. He's the new Impact Champion. You know, he had it for what, 20 minutes? No, not even that. Probably like 3 minutes after he originally won it and then immediately lost it. I'm super happy for him. This guy was like kind of forced back into Canada because of his visa ending, and then they had to do some work to get him be able to come back to the United States. Incredible wrestler. He really is. You know, I mean, he may have the goofy headset on and whatnot, but it's like he definitely, you know, he was. It's funny how good he and his, well, who was, what's the guy, his tag partner from AEW?
Ethan Page.
Yeah, Ethan Page.
They were the North.
They were great. They were like dominated for a year. And I think they even won like the Pro Wrestling Illustrated Tag Team of the Year sometime in there, I think. But then they split them up and Page went to AEW. But so cool. That's great. We'll see where how long he holds it. And I mean, it was nice. Moose got it. Finally, Moose is walking around with a TNA title for like 2 or 3 years, you know, that it was just a title that really meant nothing, kind of like the FTW title. You know, if seriously, I think he pulled it out of a garbage can or something.
It's a paperweight.
Either that or Moose, but you know, I've heard nothing but good stories about Moose, especially like from the Artiste when he was talking about how good he was when he did the 2CW shows, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's like, I'm a big fan of Moose. I've always thought it's like, he's a big guy who can move, and he's, you know, he probably gets worth a lot of money for another company someday.
I'm trying to remember the match he had with 2CW. I think it was, wasn't it against Jay Freddie?
Yep, that was one of them.
It was a hell of a match.
Yeah, that's one when he was streaming live, and we saw. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, there was another one he did too, and I think it was somebody I can't remember what because he did a couple of them, but nevertheless, yeah, he said it was so cool and it was so easy to work with, and he wanted to do anything he could do. So you know, I like Moose a lot. So because this is what I'm going to bring up, Braun Strowman, Adam Scheer, you might know his name. I don't know if you saw a picture this past week, but he, Eric Redbeard, and the Wyndham Rotundo I think it was a Twitter post or Instagram post where they were paying homage to Brody Lee, which was really, really cool. And it's called it War, Death, Phantom, and Pestilence, Forever the Four Horsemen of Apocalypse. And it was for Brody. I don't know if you got to see that picture, but it was nice. These guys still are very touched by Brody Lee, you know, and miss him incredibly. And because he was such a good person. But did you see that picture, DC?
I did.
Yeah, you know, it's good that these guys, you know, they have a bond from that whole angle, you know, that they went through. They probably lived with each other for 3 years on the road and stuff, you know, and it's nice that Wyndham's back out on the road kind of doing autographs and stuff, you know. I'd love to talk with them. That'd be very cool. But yeah, that was a cool picture. And it's like, if you haven't seen it, I'll find it. Maybe I'll post a link to it or something on our Facebook page. It's really pretty cool. But, you know, we don't like Adam Scheer, though, from the company he's working with, though. Control your narrative.
Every week he fights with himself. It's okay.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not completely against it, but it's
hard to take it seriously.
It's very conceptual. Yeah, it's very conceptual. And you have to, you know, and they think it'll work. So power to them. Maybe someday in 2 years, we'll be talking about them as being a big company now. So one more thing before we get out of here. But I want to remind you, All Elite Wrestling is coming to the Blue Cross Arena in Rochester Wednesday, July 6th, 2022. Yeah.
Tickets go on sale tomorrow
morning. So it's like you go to aewtix.com or ticketmaster.com and you can get your tickets it's Wednesday, July 6th. We're going to get, you know, Dynamite and Rampage like they did last time they were here. And, let's show them that we can do this again and fill that place up. So, get your tickets. It'll be a lot of fun. I'm sure it'll be a lot of fun.
That'll be right after the 4th too. So maybe they'll have something fun planned.
Yeah, that's true. And I think it's going to be a busy week. I got some stuff that week going on. So I'm definitely going to be there, though. But one last thing, we mentioned it briefly. Guevara won the title from Scorpio Sky won the title from Sammy Guevara last night, back and forth. It was, there's some pretty, pretty good, cool moves, AEW Dynamite last night. But this, they're handing this belt back and forth. I'm scared it's going to become insignificant when you do something like that. We saw that the WWE title kind of like that at one time because it was changing so many times, you know?
Honestly, though, I have to assume they hot potatoed it because they needed another three-time champion.
Yeah.
That's the only thing I can think of, because other than that, the booking makes no sense.
True. It's
like why put the belt back on Guevara, not only to take the title off of Scorpio, who had just won it, but to end his undefeated streak, you know, and for what, to get the win in the belt right back. Like it's questionable. So there had to be something behind it.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe we'll get some behind the scenes news from somebody about it, or maybe, maybe it's this heel move by Guevara, you know? I mean, maybe it's going to lead to something more or bigger, you know, but it could be something bigger. It could definitely move past this title and up the rung for maybe the heavyweight title a little bit. One thing before we get out of here, one thing I did notice is that Kenny Omega is back posting on Twitter. So he was quiet for a long time after he, you know, went off TV. And now he's back, and I think maybe it's a good sign he might be coming back soon, maybe. I don't know. I hope so. I mean, I'd like to see who doesn't want another Daniel Bryan, Kenny Omega match where Kenny Omega's 100%, you know? I mean, it was still a great match from what we saw, the 20-minute time limit, you know? But I would love to see him go an hour, you know? Maybe. I don't know. Another hour.
Kenny Omega comes back, and then we have two more solid trios. Give me Kenny and the Bucks versus Adam Cole and Red Dragon.
Oh yeah, and we saw all those guys tagged together except for Kenny Omega in there on last night definitely on Dynamite. That was pretty cool. I mean, it gets confusing when you get that many guys in a match 10, but it was a good match. I enjoyed that. I enjoyed the Red Dragon. I love how they all went in with the BT, what's it called? The BTE?
The Undisputed Elite.
Yeah. Oh, the Undisputed Elite.
Oh, the four-way BTE trigger?
Yeah, BTE trigger. Yeah. They like squashed.
Followed up by Adam Cole dropping the boom.
That's right. So, and he's, people are behind him too, and he's not exactly a nice guy. So, you know, it's, people love, you know, it reminds me of that NWO story about how people suddenly changed from hating them to being behind them very quickly when they realized it was cool. And Adam Cole's cool. So on that note, we're going to get out of here. I want to thank everybody who showed up. Sorry, we're not, the podcast will drop Saturday morning if you missed this, but you can always watch the video back, I think. And I want to thank UDC for giving me time. I know Danger is having some technical problems. The Artiste had something scheduled, but we made our way through it. You know, you had to listen to me stumble and stammer for an hour and almost a half now. So, but we're gonna finish up and say, you guys have a great week. We'll be back to our regular bat time, same bat channel, on a Saturday. Is it May 7th? I think it is. No, it's like, is it?
Oh yeah,
it is. Okay. The day, the lilac,
pre Mother's Day special.
Yeah, the Lilac Day parade too, and it's like, oh boy. Okay, so thank you guys for everybody. Thanks for everybody who's in the chat room. We'll see you next week, Saturday morning. Unless something else happens, just follow us on our Facebook page. You'll find out if something bizarre happened and we have to change it. But mostly, I'd say 100% we're going to be on May 7th. So we'll see you next week, folks.